Our text for today is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. If you're able to stand, would you do so? I'll read the Word of God. Audibly, you read along silently, and then we'll ask God for His blessing upon our time together. Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And finally, verse 28, by faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Amen. Lord, we humbly bow before you now, confessing that we need help to see clearly and to understand what you're saying to us in the scriptures. We need help by the Spirit to work out convictions in our own lives as we think about these truths. And then we need help from you, Father, by the grace of God, to order our lives according to your will. We trust you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so what we're going to be talking about today is facing fear by faith. Facing fear by faith. You know, you remember that last week we looked at the faith of believers at the end of life, right? The faith of believers as they are dying. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20, 21, and 22. We learned from Isaac that we can die in faith while blessing other people in spite of our family's sins, right? God knows that we've got problems in our families. Everybody does. And not just little problems. In all of our families, we got big problems. And some of them habitual sins that have plagued families for years. Nobody is being disingenuous here to even pretend that we've worked all these things out. But we thank God that we're moving, right? We're growing. We're growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. But God expects us to bless people, because even when you die, you're not going to be perfect. Even when you die, you're not going to have it all done. So even at the end of life, He still expects us to bless people, even though your family still has problems. We learned from Jacob that we can die in faith while blessing other people in spite of our suffering. Saw that in verse 21. And so all families, all people suffer. just because a person doesn't grumble and complain doesn't mean that they aren't going through something. Right? Again, everybody's going through something. And so God says, even as you die, you're going to have problems. There's going to be issues that are unresolved with you and with your family, but you bless people anyway. You will die with injustice. You will die with unresolved issues where people have done you wrong. Amen. But you bless others anyway. And then finally, we learn from Joseph that we can face death in faith while planning our future and the future of other people. We see in Joseph that you and I, by faith, trust God to take care not only of our children, but our children's children, and the next generations of people. I know today you look around, and I mean, things are rough. There's times that you wonder about this next generation, and how's it going to be for them? But I'm sure our parents thought the same thing. It's always so radically different from the previous generation. But God is faithful, right? It was perilous times in the first century. That was called the last days. And here we are, 2,000 years later, God's still taking care of his people. So we can face death while planning the future of the generations to come. We shouldn't die with this defeated attitude that all is lost. Right? The Christian dies in faith.
Amen.
In that God, this is God's world. He's going to take care of it until the last one that is to be saved is saved, and all will be well until that time. So we can have hope for our own families. And even we saw with Joseph, we really ought to even think about the way we're going to die and be buried, because we want to live as people of faith. We want to die and be buried as people of faith. Not just leave it to the whims. We want our death and burial to be a testimony to the grace of God.
Yes.
Right? A funeral is of a believer is to demonstrate hope.
Amen.
I remember some of you asked me in the past, what about cremation and other forms of death? And we're not dogmatic about it. I mean, because God is going to restore the body where they were lost at sea or burned in fire. But if you have a preference, then the Christian wants to have a burial where you put the body in the ground, because that's the picture of hope. Because God's going to come back. Jesus is coming back. And the what? Dead in Christ will be raised. Okay, so it's a gospel message to do that. You understand? And so if you have the privilege to plan your own funeral, then do that. Do it so that it's a testimony for those looking on, that this believer died in hope. And they're being buried in hope. Right? Today, we'll learn more about this kind of faith that pleases God from Moses and his family as we look at believers facing fear. All right? Believers facing fear. So, I divided my thinking up this way. So we look at verses 23 through 28. The first area of thought is faith that does not fear evil authority. I see that in verse 23 and verse 27. And then we'll center our thoughts around the fact that faith does not compromise for worldly pleasures. And I see that in verses 24, 25, 26. And 28. And as we unpack this, I hope you'll see why I ordered my thinking that way. You ready? Let's go. Okay, so as we look at faith that does not fear evil authorities, the first thing we see here is Moses' parents, right? Parents can overcome fear by faith. All parents have to face difficult issues, right? Children see us as courageous and, as wise and all of those kinds of things. And that's okay. We want them to be shielded and protected. But parents have to face real fears likewise. And so as we look at Moses, our paragraph begins in verse 23 by saying, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edicts." They were facing real danger. Their life was in danger if they disobeyed the king. Let's talk about that a minute. So, for those of you who know the story at the first and second chapter of Exodus, you know, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was threatened because the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, you remember Joseph had brought them in from the famine and he'd taken care of them. They'd stayed in Egypt. But now Joseph is dead. And the Pharaoh that knew Joseph and that you know, was amenable and that worked with Joseph's people is dead. You got a whole different set of circumstances now. This new Pharaoh is not working with Israel. As a matter of fact, he's threatened by them. There is too many of them. It's more of them than there are Egyptians. And so he's concerned that if they decide to, and they're slaves, by the way, if they decide to for an uprising, they'll join the enemy and Egypt will be defeated. You remember that story? So he's threatened by these enslaved Jews. And so he ordered all male Hebrew babies to be drowned in the Nile River. All of them. Now, why would he want male Hebrew babies to be drowned? Because he wants to cut off the population, right? He's okay with female babies living, but kill all the male babies. Now, Moses' parents, in order to protect their baby, the parents of Moses defied Pharaoh's order. Y'all know this, you remember the story, right? By hiding him for 3 months and then putting him in a waterproof basket in the Nile River. And you know, I thought about that. Isn't that like God? You know, the very means of destruction God used for salvation. You know, the Nile River was supposed to be used to what? To drown, to kill the baby. And they put the baby in there to be saved. Isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
God is amazing.
Yes, he is.
If you don't fear, if you live by faith, he'll use the very thing that people are trying to use to destroy you to help you.
Amen.
The very boss
that's
trying to bring you down will be the one that'll actually bring you through.
Well,
the neighbor that just seems to be totally irritating to you will be the very one that God will use to help you. So don't put these things past God. Just be faithful. And so I thought it might be good just for us together. Can you find Exodus chapter 1? Let's just look at the account real quick and so that everyone is familiar with what we're talking about. Exodus chapter 1. Beginning at verse 22. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, 'Every son that is born to the Hebrew shall be cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live.' Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank." Verse 4. "And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Verse 7. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the child went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Amen. Isn't that amazing? You know, we could spend a lot of time talking about that, but that's phenomenal. By faith, they give up their child, and then God gives them back, and then makes folks pay you. God is amazing. Make them pay you to raise your own child. That's just phenomenal. So you can see then, by faith, these parents risk their own lives in every defiant action. Why did they do it? Because God enabled the parents to see that the baby was special to God for the future. Now Hebrews 11 says it. It says, Hebrews 11 says, because they saw that the child was beautiful. Right? Now there's a lot more that this doesn't just mean that it was a pretty baby. It doesn't just mean that the baby had nice physical features. You find that out. Can you go over? Hold your place there and turn to Acts chapter 7. And I think it's verse 20. Acts chapter 7. Yeah, you got Acts chapter 7? Look at the first sentence of verse 20. At this time Moses was born, he was beautiful in God's sight. You see? So what happened is that God helped them to see this baby is special to God. That's the whole idea. They saw that he was beautiful, okay? Christian parents, you remember this old saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder? Mm-hmm. We got to remember with our children, their beauty is from God's perspective. Mm-hmm. They may not be living or doing or acting any way that you agree with, but you got to trust God. Amen. God sees the beauty. Mm-hmm. You see, all of us who know, if you were saved later on in life, you see, many people didn't see any beauty in you. But God did. That's the reason he preserved you and brought you through. So God saw the beauty in Moses long before Moses became a servant. You got it?
Yes.
It was unseen, you see? Faith is the substance. You know, it's things hoped for and things what? Unseen. And so God helped the parents to see what was not seen right immediately. It was in the future. That's what faith is. And so that's the reason they were willing to face their fear in faith, risk their own life in faith, because this was God's will and God's plan. Now, we're going to skip forward 80 years, okay? So we see parents overcome their fear by faith, and now we're going to see what I call a timid leader overcome fear by faith. You got verse 27? Hebrews 11, 27. By faith, he left Egypt. He being Moses, left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, Moses grew up as an Egyptian. All right? Now, we'll get to these details in just a minute. Remember what I told you. We've skipped forward 80 years. So I'm just giving you a little encapsulated, a little quick snapshot. We're going to jump 80 years. He grew up as an Egyptian. Then at age 40, he saw one of the Hebrews slaves being abused, and he killed an Egyptian, right? And then he fled for his life because he knew Pharaoh was seeking to kill him. All right? And So he then went out into the desert. Now, 40 years he's been gone from Egypt. And God meets him, you all know the story, there with the burning bush, and tells Moses that I want you to go and I'm going to tell Pharaoh to set my people free, right? So he came back. The same man that ran away in fear now comes back in courage.
Yeah. Amen.
Took 40 years to get him there, but you can't hurry God.
Amen.
You can't judge people while God is working it out.
Amen.
You see, though, a lot of the people that thought that we done with Moses, I didn't like him anyway, didn't realize that he's the same one.
Well,
that's going to have to come back and bring you out of it. Have to be careful.
Amen.
Reaching your judgments too soon.
Amen.
About people.
Amen.
And so, 40 years later, Moses returns to Egypt with the faith to be courageous as he faces Pharaoh with those 10 plagues. You remember, you know the story, right? Exodus 5 through 11. God sends these plagues or these signs to eventually humble, arrogant Pharaoh. Now, obviously, you know, he wasn't humble to repentance. It was just he was humble to the point of where he had to let Israel go.
Yeah.
He had to. Didn't have any other option. You know, he tried every other way. But God, when you can't, remember that old play, your arms too short to box with God, you can't win.
Well.
Can't win. So you might as well, give up right at the beginning, right? Yeah. We don't, unfortunately, you and I sit here and we say yeah, but we find ourselves the same way, right? We wonder why did it take me so long? Why did it take me so long? Now, this verse says that Moses was not afraid, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And this is the way I worded this. Now, this is very important. Moses had seen the almighty invisible God overcome the powerful Pharaoh, and he trusted the unseen God for deliverance. You see, when he was there in the wilderness, you know, God came to him and he convinced him that I can take care of you in front of Moses. You remember with the staff and changed it to the serpent and those kind of things. And so Moses, now he didn't see God. God caught his attention with a burner, a bush that was not consumed. God spoke to him, but he never saw him, right? And so this same God who convinced him in the desert to go to Pharaoh is there helping him. One plague after another, this invisible God is humbling this mighty power. You know, Pharaoh was king.
Yeah.
Pharaoh had the power to kill people, and that's what he was doing. But Moses realizes this almighty God that I can't see is mightier than Pharaoh.
Amen.
And that's what it means by he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And Christian, I'd say to each one of us, we're facing some uncertain times in America. You know, you think about, I don't know if you think about it, but we're having so many what they call natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
I think people forget because they're just happening so repetitively, you know. We're forgetting that they're just coming right one after another. I mean, right now, all of the interest is on Hurricane, what is it, Irene? Okay, but you forget that, you know, we're not even done with the drought. The drought is still happening right here in this country. You forget that, was it just last week we had an earthquake?
Two
earthquakes, you see? There's... And we got an earthquake going on with the stock market and with Social Security and with Medicare and all of these things. Unemployment rate and, you know, I mean, just go on and on. So there's uncertainty. And everyone is tempted to fear. Now, I've got to say something to everybody, and I want you to listen. First of all, I want to give you some facts before you make up your mind. All right? Fear affected some of the great people of faith that we've already looked at. Fear affected Abraham, right? When he was afraid of dying, he compromised with his wife. Fear affected Isaac the same way, right? Fear affected Jacob when he thought that Esau was going to kill him. He did what was what? Natural. Fear overcame him. Fear affected Aaron. You remember when Moses was gone? He was in the mountain with God, getting the Ten Commandments, and the people got into an uproar, and they wanted him to make an idol, and fear reached the point to where he compromised and did what they wanted. Fear affected the 10 spies. You remember when 12 spies were sent into the Promised Land to spy it out? Because they didn't trust God. God had already told them they could have it, but they wanted to take a cautious route. And so 10 of the 12 were afraid, and they said, "We can't do it. We can't. They're like giants in there. We can't take this." So fear overcame them. And then in the book of Judges, y'all remember a man named Gideon? Who was minding his own business one day, and God comes along and says, "Gideon, you're going to be a mighty warrior." And Gideon says, "Nah, I don't think so. I'm going to need some signs before we kind of, you know that story." And likewise, some of us know how we are when God is calling us to do something challenging, though. We want some signs too. You may not say that, but that's what we want. Amen. And the 12 disciples, when they got caught in the storm, were what? Afraid. Afraid. Lord, you know the old, "Lord, carest thou not? Don't you care that we are perishing?" And so I said all that before I make my statement, because I didn't want you to rear back and fold your arms and get too holy on me. Fear affects all of us. And I know I still hadn't convinced everybody, so I thought that it'd be good for me to read about another man just like you. Thought for sure he could handle anything. Luke chapter 22, Jesus is talking and teaching his disciples. He's getting near the end of his life, and you know, Brother Peter thought he was the bravest man ever walked the face of the earth. He's always on the front. He was the man when it comes to serving Jesus. And Luke 22 verse 31, Jesus is saying to Peter now, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And he thought that was true. See, all of us have to be careful with presumed courage. Presumed courage. Now, there's a difference between trusting God when you get in trouble rather than assuming before you get in trouble that you're just going to be his superman, superwoman. And so, obviously, Peter here is responding in arrogance. And what does the Lord say to him? Jesus said, "I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me." You think you're ready to go to prison with me and die? Y'all know the story, right? One little servant girl. Wait a minute, this is nobody with a sword or a spear or a machete or, you know, a gun. This is just somebody that says, hey, aren't you with Jesus? And then the tough guy said, no. And so my brother, my sister, here's what I'm saying to you today. We all face fears. Fears of losing your savings account. Fears of losing your health. Fears of losing your sight. Fears of losing your mind. Fear of senility, you see, or Alzheimer's. Fear of somebody having to lead you around. Fears of losing a child. Fears of being homeless. Fears of hospitals. Fears of germs. Fears of airplanes. Fears of ships. Fears of violent storms. You see? Fears. They affect all of us. All of us. And yet we learn from Moses that we can have victory. Right? Now what I want to do, we went from seeing the faith of Moses' parents and him as an infant to seeing him as an 80-year-old man, courageous. And you know that in between there, you saw him as a timid, fearful man. I want to show you how it happened, all right? So, real quick, we're going to see in these other verses the progression. So, we see that when it comes to facing evil authority, parents can overcome fear by faith, and timid leaders can overcome fear by faith. We learn that from Moses and his family. Now, we're going to look at faith that does not compromise for worldly pleasures. Can you find verse 24? Hebrews 11 and verse 24. We're going to look at four words, and I'll tell them to you up front. You look for them. Four words are going to describe the progression and the way to handle resisting and yielding to your fear. Refusing, choosing, considering, and keeping. Right? Refusing, choosing, considering, and keeping. So we're going to look at refusing first in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, y'all remember the story. Pharaoh's daughter found baby Moses. She adopted him as her son and gave him back to his mother to take care of him until he grew out of childhood. All right? Now, here's something very important. Moses' mother raised him up as a Hebrew baby, not as an Egyptian. This is very important. Moses' mother wasn't afraid to teach her baby where he came from. Amen. And what she believed. I'm going to have to let you go, but when you go, you're going to know who you are. Amen. And what we believe. Amen. You listen to me, parents?
Yes, sir.
This is very important. And Moses' mother knows she was taking a risk. You and I aren't taking a risk. This is what we ought to do. His mother raised him up as a Hebrew child, teaching him God's word, God's truth, before she gave him back to Pharaoh's daughter as her son. Now you got to follow me on this. I don't know how much of this I wrote down. Look at this. Moses' mother gave him what God had to offer. Right? Pharaoh's daughter, his that adopted him, gave him what the world had to offer. This is important. Matter of fact, hold your place. Let me show you something. Can you find Acts chapter 7 again? We looked at this once. Acts chapter 7, look at verse 20, 21, and 22. Acts 7, 20, 21, and 22. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house. And when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds until he became 40 years old. You got it? Pharaoh's mother had less time with him. Moses' mother had less time with him than Pharaoh's daughter. The amount of time is not the issue. You listen to me, parents? She didn't have 30 years. She had only a few years while he was young. But I tell you, parents, those are the important years. Moses' mother gave her what God has to offer. Pharaoh's daughter gave him what the world has to offer. And by faith, look at this. This verse says, by faith in God, Moses as an adult was able to refuse the wealth and power of the world. You listen to me, parents? And I'm particularly speaking to women. Even if you're not a mother, the effect of a woman on a child is phenomenal, particularly a mother. Godly mothers have a significant influence on their children. Significant.
Yes.
Moses is 40 years old. He's been separated from his mother and his family for more than 30 years. Yet when it comes to him being tempted by the world, he obeys his mother. Well, his mother's God. You understand what I'm saying? His mother gave him enough truth that he believes the God of his mother. You know what I'm saying. It's his God now. But parents, do not minimize the value of keeping and teaching and presenting the gospel to your children, whether you see the results or not. He has the faith to refuse what the world has to offer because of a godly mother. Secondly, so that's refusing, and then let's look at what I call choosing. And there's progression here, you see it? Verse 25. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, Moses willingly chose to suffer in the will of God rather than the temporary pleasures of the world, which were outside of the will of God. It's an amazing thing for a child to know the difference between what is God's will versus what is not. Moses, now he's not a child anymore, but what he learned as a child enabled him to make godly decisions as an adult. He willingly chose suffering in the will of God rather than temporary worldly pleasures outside of God's will. The Bible here says that he chose the path of suffering when he killed the Egyptian. Y'all remember that? I guess we didn't read it, but most of you know the story, right? He killed that Egyptian when he saw that Egyptian abusing one of his people. That means Moses had learned to identify more with the people of God than he did with the folks that he spent 30 plus years with. The faith placed in that child is incredibly, it'll carry them long after they're out of your sight, mom and dad. Don't minimize those little private times that you have. Those little lessons that you teach. But more importantly, don't minimize what they see modeled in mom and dad. Sometimes, now that was Moses. Let's talk about us. Sometimes the believer must choose to suffer rather than accept a new job. The world wants you to go in a different direction, but you know that that's not God's will for you. It's more money. It's, you know, have your dream house and your dream car and your dream this and your dream furniture and your dream shoes and your dream this and your dream hat. But if that's not God's will, then you're outside of God's will. It's better to suffer with your present pay and your present job than enjoy that for just a little while.
Amen.
Right, Christian?
Amen.
That's easy to say. Sometimes a believer must choose to suffer rather than accept new friends when you know the direction those friends are going. It's rather to suffer as a Christian than accept a new ministry. Even if it is a legitimate ministry, if it's outside of God's will, then it's not for you. Or you know that for single people, you got that date. Somebody you've been watching for a long time. That doesn't mean it's in God's will.
Amen.
It's better to suffer and wait for the right one than to let one night ruin your life. Anything outside of God's will, it's best to make a choice, even as difficult as it may be. Moses, now here's the other thing. Moses chose the path of suffering when he gave up the pleasures he had been accustomed to for more than 30 years. Sometimes the path of suffering means not just turning down an offer. It means giving up what you already got and what you've even had for 30 years. Because that's no longer God's will for you. Just because you've been doing it a long time doesn't mean it's God's will for you now. All right, Christian?
Yes. Amen.
We've got to be led by the Spirit and by faith. So that's refusing and choosing. Then verse 26, we talk about considering. Look at verse 26. For he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward.
Yes.
The word translated consider is a Greek word, hageomai, and it means to give careful thought. Careful thought. So here's the point. Moses gave careful thought as to what's really valuable. You see? Not just what feels good and looks good and is comfortable now, but what's really valuable for the long haul. What's really valuable way into the future. What's valuable when my few days down here on earth are over? Is it worth it for me? And you remember how Paul says it at the end of that great chapter on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 13? He says, therefore be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? The work of the labor of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord or in Christ is not in vain. And Christian, I say to all of us, you need to give very careful thought as to why you do what you do.
Amen.
Consider it.
Yes.
Don't just do it because everybody else does it.
Amen.
Consider it. Is it really what God wants me to do?
Amen.
You see, is it God's will for me? Godly decisions take future consequences into account. And here's a very important statement. I don't think I wrote this one down for you, so you just listen. Moses was a man of conviction, but still negatively affected by fear. He fled. Just because you're a man that reads your, a man or woman that reads your Bible, believes your Bible, doesn't mean you're immune to fear. You understand? He was a man of conviction. In other words, he chose that he was going to go with God and God's people when he killed that Egyptian. But when it came time for him to face life or death, he got out of town. Now, God didn't reprove or rebuke him for that, because God had plans. Your fears work in God's plans. None of us surprise God. Isn't that something? Samson was a womanizer. God used his womanizing to work out his plan. God causes what? All things to work together. Now, that doesn't justify our fear. What it does say is, you can either be blessed by doing what you know you should, or God will work it out anyway and you'll miss God's goodness and his blessing. Right? So, refusing, choosing, considering, and then last thing is keeping. You got verse 28? By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, Moses ate the last meal in slavery with God's people rather than Pharaoh's people because God had instructed him, right? He did that according to God's instructions. He also applied the blood to the door frames of the people of Israel's homes according to God's instructions. Because of that, Moses protected God's people from the 10th plague. Y'all know what the 10th plague was, right? The death angel came, and in everybody's house where the blood wasn't on the door post, the firstborn died. Right? God protected Israel's people by keeping his commandment. Safety for the believer is found only in obeying the will and the word of God, and that's the way we overcome fear. You cannot be safe if you don't obey God. Everybody's going to have to wrestle with fear. But if you want a place of safety, you need to know you're doing what God says, which means you need to know your Bible. You need to know what God says. So, that's the progress. Refusing, choosing, considering, and keeping the pathway to face your fear by faith. So then, my brothers and sisters, I want you to close your Bibles and I want to ask you some questions as I did last week. What have you learned from Moses and his family today about facing your fears by faith? First of all, are you willing to admit that you have some fears? Your fears will eventually surface, causing you to make a wrong decision and miss the will of God if you keep denying. Therefore, it is best to address your fears before they cause more problems for you publicly. Follow the pattern of Moses. Refuse to yield to worldly temptations out of fear. Choose to suffer loss for Christ's sake. Consider future consequences of your decisions. And finally, keep or obey the word of God that he has taught you. Here's the promise of God. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, what? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. But with that temptation will make a way of what? Escape. That's his promise. My confession. Many of you know this. I struggle with fear. And I know that. But I'm also a man of conviction who's learning to live by faith.
Amen.
And so you don't have to deny your struggle with fear. But you do have to continue to grow and live by faith. See, that's what we see in Moses. You remember, it took a long time for Moses to get where God wanted him. But if you're God's man, if you're God's woman, he'll get you where you need to be.
Amen.
What about you? We learn from the life of Moses that we can have victory over our fears, and our children can have victory over their fears as we model a life of faith and teach them. And finally, if you are not a Christian, then you should fear the future because danger awaits you. There's only one place of safety from the eternal danger that awaits every sinner. Jesus Christ. He is that place of safety. And he'll save you from eternal misery and pain. But you must believe. You must believe. Would you believe today? Our Father, we thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for dealing with us as patiently as you did Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Gideon and the apostles and so many others in the past. Thank you for being as patient with us as you were with Moses and his parents and a whole host of believers down through the generations. And now we, as we bow together, Lord, we ask you to help us individually identify the fears that plague all of us. Help us to honestly seek you and seek you for repentance, first of all, that we may turn away from sinful thoughts and sinful desires in our hearts that cause us to compromise when we find ourselves being tempted to fear. We need your help, Lord Jesus. Even as this the woman who had been bleeding for years sought you out, we're seeking you out today because we know that no physician, no medical physician or psychological physician can help us. No counsel from people can help us. Lord, we need your help now to deal with our own fears and insecurities. You have never lost a patient. You have never given bad counsel. And you always succeed. You never fail. And so we're trusting you to help us face our fear by faith. And would you, if someone here today is wrestling with coming to Christ, I pray that by the Spirit you would give them the courage to face the fear that would keep them away from laying hold of Jesus with all their heart, and give them faith to know that you offer them eternal life, joy, and peace. Would you work it out today in Jesus' name? Amen. Well, praise the Lord.